This morning's scripture is taken from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. If you're using a Bible under your seat, it can be found on page 1025 and also be on the screen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort for which we ourselves are comforted by God.
As many of you know, several of us are departing. Some have already departed for Fort Hill Christian Youth Camp, and learned yesterday that there is a road that is closed, Route 68, in between Xenia and Wilmington. Vince has been kind enough to make copies of several maps for us and place an alternate route out on the foyer table. So if you're planning on making the trip to Fort Hill, you'll want to grab one of those maps before you leave here today. But I just want to tell you to take State Route 35 down to Washington Courthouse, and the map will clearly reveal the way from that point forward. Hopefully there are no roads closed between Washington Courthouse and Fort Hill. We just may decide to go to the East Coast and hang out in Boston or something. But wanted to mention that to you. Someone once said that there are some folks you like to see come and there's others you like to see go. I'm not sure which crowd you fall into. But in a similar way, a similar expression is that there's some news that you're welcome, you like to receive, and there's other news that you just would rather not know about. You'd just rather not hear. 7 years ago, nearly 7 years ago, Sunday afternoon around 5 p.m., I received some very disturbing news. The news involved the tragic death of a 20-year-old young man that I had the privilege and the joy watching him grow up as a boy. The young man's name is Jared. That's the only name I'll give you. Watched Jared, like many of our own young kids here, ages 8, 9, 10, 11, through their teenage years. His hero when he was growing up was Walker, Texas Ranger. I remember at the Holmes County Fair, you know how dealerships will bring vehicles by and display them. And I remember one year, as I was walking by a vehicle, I was in front of it, and I think it was a Ford pickup truck. All I saw was the steering wheel doing this, but I didn't see anybody. I'm like, what in the world? And I walked around the side and opened up the door. There was Jared in there, you know, in that truck, steering that steering wheel. Nearly 7 years ago, September 9th, Jared had just passed his exam to become a certified firefighter. That's something we're familiar with, right? His very first run, he received a page to make his way to the Holmesville Fire Department, suit up, and go fight a fire. His very first run. As he departed his house and made his way down County Road 189, he lost control of his vehicle and slammed head-on into a tree. He didn't make it to the fire. He lost his life at that very instant. the pain, I can assure you, is always there with the family. They still grieve. They'll be reminded of their son, that his daily routines are not met. The times that he always walked through the door and he wasn't there now or isn't there now. The favorite meals that his mom likes to make for him, if she ever makes those meals again, she'll think of her son. The laundry basket is a little lighter today because the clothes that she washes, they're not in with the dirty laundry. Life has changed for them. That date is etched in their minds. County Road 189 will never be traveled up on or looked at as the same again. Especially that spot. I've seen the spot. I've been down the road. I know where it is. I'm sure 20-year-old somethings with blonde hair and blue eyes, a handsome young man, young boys, young men about his height, about his weight, and his same features, when they see a young man like that, they'll think of their son Jared. I'm going to ask you, how do you heal from hurt like that? How do you learn to grow through the grief? You see, this is what the lesson is about this morning. I'm just going to share a few things with you today that hopefully will help us, because I know we all have had grief in our lives as a result of a lost loved one. And I'm going to suggest some things this morning that hopefully, I pray, will help us through it, because I know we're dealing with it. First, I would recommend or suggest that we talk it out. Here is a wonderful book entitled Growing Through Grief, written by Bill Flatt. I heard Brother Flatt, he is a counselor within the Lord's Church. I heard him speak several years ago, and he spoke on this very topic. And Brother Flatt begins in this book talking about the loss of his mother and the emotions that he went through when he lost his mother, and what he watched his dad go through as he was dealing with that. But Brother Bill Flatt, he is a well-respected counselor in the Lord's Church, and he made a statement with regards to what many widows say after they lose or they've lost a loved one. They say, "My children don't want me to talk. They tell me it's time to put it in the past, but I want to talk about it. It's on my mind all the time anyway. Why not talk about it? They act as if he or she never existed. And that hurts me. Brethren, if I understand the Scriptures properly, we are to indeed rejoice with those who rejoice, but we are to weep with those who are weeping." Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. I, like you, probably find it hard to believe that some people would insinuate that we should not talk about it. And if we're not going to talk about it, I guess we can also assume that we're not going to listen as well. But I guess anything is possible. "Oh, yeah, Scott, but you don't understand. They just keep talking about her all the time, or they just keep talking about her all the time." It's time to move on. And sometimes they ask some of the silliest questions. Do you understand what is going on when a person is doing that? They're sorting through their emotions. They're dealing with their grief. Brother Flatt, on pages 9 and 10, it's just a sentence or two. I want to share this with you. And oh, by the way, you're welcome to borrow this. It says, but expressing your thoughts and your feelings openly, talking them out and crying if you feel like it, is one of the best things you can do to deal with your grief. Keeping it all bottled up inside just isn't healthy, and it makes the grieving process last longer than it otherwise would. Talking to someone else during your grieving helps first because it gives you an outlet for your strong feelings. I like this statement. God made us as social creatures needing contact and to communicate with others. We're growing through grief when we talk it out. We're trying to find our true north again. Figure out what is normal now without him or her in my life. And if we're called on to talk it out, then brethren, that requires that we need to be good listeners. We need to be good listeners. You see, to deny anyone the opportunity to talk through their emotions is denying them the opportunity to grow through their grief. God's Word says, just as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. You're dealing with grief. Let's talk it out. Don't suppress it. Two, I would suggest this. Never forget. Never forget. As friends to the family that has lost the loved one, the challenge is just this. Don't forget who they've lost, what he or what she has meant to them. You see, that sometimes is the greatest tragedy, is after a death has occurred and the ones that are close to that loved one that has gone on, they deal with that every day, all the time. But the challenge for distant friends and distant family members is the fact that, yes, they offer their condolences around the casket and at the graveside, and then they go home and they go their separate ways, and life goes on as if nothing ever happened. Does life go on? Yes, it goes on. It goes on. But just as life goes on for those that are not as close, the pain goes on for those that are close. And we must never forget their pain. We must never forget their sorrow. Friends, I can assure you, September 9th is a day that Jared's family struggles with every year. A good friend of mine just passed away. My very first preaching job is in Walnut Street Church of Christ in Perry County. And Shawnee, one of the families that was responsible for me taking that job, their daughter, I remember, same age as my wife, their daughter, struggled with diabetes since she was a teenager, a bad diabetic. Back in June, she had just had a kidney and pancreas transplant in Columbus. July 11th, her body couldn't take it anymore and she died. Michelle is her name. I spoke with the family here a few days ago. Your mother told me that I'll never look at July 11th the same again. Never. I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. You know, our Lord, our Savior, He didn't want us to forget His pain and sorrow, did He? He just remembered it. He set up a memorial so we would remember Him. And the grieving loved ones will, at time to time, they'll send out signals that they haven't forgotten. Oftentimes, depression or withdrawal occurs on a certain day every year because they're grieving. And maybe instead of sitting back and being critical and saying, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? You stop and think for just one moment. Who did they lose in their life close to this date? And you just may connect the dots. What can we do? How do we help them through this process? Again, the challenge for us is this, as close friends, relatives, family members, is to not forget. Send them a card. Give them a phone call. One statement that I know I'm probably popular for is saying, let's go grab a Coke and a smile. And you just sit there and you just listen. That's all you got to do. Stroke them. Hug them. Cry with them and laugh with them. And we'll move on together. Let's not forget. Third, allow others in. Perhaps one of the easiest things for a grieving soul to do is build up a wall. Put a hedge around themselves. I'm going to tell you, God didn't wire us that way. You may think from time to time, I don't need anyone. You begin to think like that, you begin to act like that, I'll introduce you to the most unhappiest person on the face of the earth. We all need someone. I've never seen a one-man band play at a funeral. I've never seen a funeral for one attended by one. We all need someone. Did you ever consider this? By building up a wall or putting up a hedge, disassociating yourself from the rest of society, you know what you're doing? You are literally denying others the opportunity to grow through their grief as well. The funeral I preached for Jared nearly 7 years ago was a time that I needed. I got to be honest with you, Lloyd, when I got that phone call, and I was asked by his parents to preach this funeral, I dreaded it. I absolutely dreaded it with every fiber that was within me. For many reasons. I prayed to God for strength that day as I stood over that young man's body. There were probably 800 people in attendance at that funeral. held at East Holmes High School, you see his daddy is the sheriff of Holmes County. There were probably 500 law enforcement and firefighters there. But I needed it. And I needed the time thereafter to sit down for a couple hours with the family and just talk and hug and laugh and remember. I needed it. So let me tell you something. To build up walls, to hedge yourself in. You may think that you're doing others a big favor, but you're not. You see, we're grieving too. And we need to go through that process. For it, I want to encourage you to draw near to God. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. I believe that. You know, one of the easiest things for a person to do when they're going through grief is blame God. When something bad happens, let's blame God. And folks, when we blame God, do you know what we do next? We abandon God. We create distance between us and God. And I'm here to tell you, that is the absolute worst thing you can do. The worst thing you can do. That song that Mike just led for us, It Is Well With My Soul, it came from a broken heart of H.G. Spafford. Spafford was a very successful businessman in Chicago. All you've got to do is get on your little search engine and type in Chicago's Great Fire. And it will come up as one of the greatest tragedies and travesties in the 19th century. Chicago was burning down. Spafford had suffered a loss of everything. He trying to deal with business matters at home, decides to send his family to Europe, his wife and four daughters. He puts them on the Ville du Havre, a French liner. I'm going to pick up reading with regards to what happened that fateful evening. At 2 o'clock on the morning of November 22, 1873, when the luxury liner was several days out and sailing on a quiet sea, she was rammed by the English iron sailing vessel, the Lochearn. In 2 hours, the Ville du Havre, one of the largest ships afloat, settled to the bottom of the ocean, with a loss of some 226, including the four Spafford children. 9 days later, when the survivors landed at Cardiff Wells, Mrs. Spafford cabled her husband with two words, saved alone. When he received her message, he said to a dear friend, listen to this, quote, I am glad to trust the Lord when it will cost me something. And then he goes on and he writes the song you just sang. It is well with my soul. He could have gone another direction. God, how could you? I just went through this tragedy at home. I have lost virtually everything. And now you take my kids from me. He could have expressed his hate to God, towards God, and behaved in an entirely different way, but he didn't. You see, he drew near to God. He drew near to God. Folks, the greatest comfort one can receive when dealing with tragedy is not running from God, but running to God. And God uses us, as the scripture reading that was read for us from 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, as Jim read it for us this morning, the God of all comfort and mercy, He comforts us, and we in turn comfort others. I'm going to conclude with this last point. Understand this, life is a gift. None of us here are guaranteed one more single day on this earth. As a matter of fact, we're not even guaranteed another hour. I'm sure we have plans. But as James expresses for us, there in James in chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." What is your life? "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away." The Bible tells us, folks, we do not know what will happen tomorrow. Life is so precious. Let us not squander one minute of one day. Don't live with regrets, and don't die with any. Life is precious, and we must live to the fullest that God has granted us to give Him glory each and every single day of our lives. Let's talk it out. We're dealing with grief. Let's not forget. Don't build up walls. That's not healthy. You draw near to God, He'll draw near to you, and celebrate life every second of every day. If you live a life with no regrets, you'll die a death with no regrets. I want to encourage you this morning to draw near to God. Now listen, if you don't have a relationship with God, it's kind of hard to draw near to God. And God has provided a way for you to have a relationship with Him. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, to respond to the invitation. Come forward. You repent of your sins. You confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. And live each day to the fullest to give God glory with your life. Maybe you've done that. Maybe Maybe you've committed sin. You've turned away from following God. And you want to return. Maybe your heart is heavy. And you're growing through grief. And you need the prayers and the support of this church. If you feel you need to respond in invitation, please come forward. Together we stand and we stand.